California is America's salad bowl, her vineyard, a fruit basket. But as the drought continues, how will that affect our California produce prices? Should we pay even more for crops like almonds that use more water? Peaches use less, but should we pay more for them too because there's a water shortage? Dan Sumner is a professor of agricultural economy at UC Davis. Professor Sumner, welcome.
Thank you.
And what are California's biggest contributions to the American diet now?
Well, fruits, nuts, vegetables. Some people don't know, California is also the largest dairy producer in the United States, so we export a lot of cheese and dry milk powder and those sorts of things.
Really? More cheese than like Wisconsin?
We are number two to Wisconsin in cheese, but much, much larger than Wisconsin for dairy in general.
Isn't that interesting? Well, what is your sense of how the drought's impacting how much of those food products come out of California?
It's complicated for a couple of reasons, and the answer is most consumers in the United States will not notice in their food basket and on their food bill much about this drought. It starts with the farmers in this state. What the farmers do is everything they can that's innovative and resilient to keep the water to the crops that consumers want from us most. We've idled a lot of cotton acreage. We've idled some rice, and we've shifted that water to the trees and the vegetables and the vines that people expect to get from California.
Yeah. You're saying we won't notice the prices go up in our market baskets, but is that the morally right thing to have happen? We spoke to one of your colleagues in the UC system, Professor Ken Starr. He made the point that one of the biggest problems in California is huge overpopulation. And he says if we start charging more for water, people might have to leave because they can't afford that, or it might drive the cost of products up. But that's how we should value water.
I don't know if it's a moral statement, but what I will say is economically it makes sense that people will try to move as much water as they can, say, from that barley field to that peach field. So to the extent that we're able to do that, and that keeps the price of peaches, almost all the peaches in the United States come from California, if that keeps the price of peaches lower, the market system, that makes all the sense in the world. Many of us think we should reduce the amount of regulation and streamline the regulations on water movements to let the market be even more effective.
What are you referring to?
Well, so for example, there may be water that's allocated to a water district in Northern California that says they're allowed to use that water, but they can't sell it to their neighbor. Well, that means they're putting on a crop that's worth, where that water may be worth $100 an acre foot. Their next door neighbor with, say, a peach crop may say, gee, but it would be worth $300 for me to have that water.
Right.
Won't you sell it to me? And the guy said, I'd love to, but the rules say I can't.
So if somebody's growing rice with tons and tons of water and people aren't exactly clamoring for California rice, that farmer might be better off economically selling that water to the guy growing the peaches who will use less water and produce something that people are clamoring for.
That's right. So in a drought year, we might think of him as renting the water. He still owns the long-term rights to
right.
it. Now, that's limited by the geography. You can't get agricultural water from the Central Valley or from the snow-capped peaks over to the Salad Bowl, for example. That's two mountain ranges over, and it's just too expensive to pump water for irrigation up over mountains. Gradually over time, the price of water will be built into the price of the crops. But let's be a little careful about what that means. If you buy some peaches or nectarines in your supermarket in Boston this summer, oh, two-thirds or three-quarters of the cost of those peaches will be after the farm gate. So right off the bat, the farm cost is a third. Now you'd say, how much is that water in that farm cost? Maybe it's 10% of the cost of those peaches. Labor's incredibly expensive for growing peaches, for example. They have to be hand-harvested for fresh use. So now we're down to 10%, and let's say the price of water went up by 10%. So we're 10% of 10% times one-third by the time it gets to your supermarket, mm-hmm. and you say, oh, gee, peaches went up by one-third of 1%. We don't notice. So yes, that higher price of water gets incorporated into the cost of peaches, but most of us aren't going to notice.
Do you think that's going to last into the future? We'll see little impact?
Let me say, I, like everybody else associated with California agriculture, hopes we get an incredible snowpack next year and great rains. So that's what we're all hoping for. It may or may not happen. certainly the prices of these icon items that we produce here in California, wine, everything from almonds to wine and zucchini, those costs would gradually rise with this drought. But we've got enough water to last a very long time. And there's something that people need to understand, and that water is incredibly valuable, but it has to be very cheap before we can use it to grow crops. And that's not just in California, that's everywhere.
Dan Sumner, Professor of Agricultural Economy at UC Davis. Professor Sumner, thank you.
You're welcome.